It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you getting up and tuning in. It is the weekend. We're the first full weekend in March. Well, I guess maybe the second one because March the 1st was Saturday. Holy cow, this stuff blows by quick. But looks like, at least where we are, the ice fishing's done. I've talked to our friend Chaz when Bob was out last week. Chaz sat in, and he's been keeping me abreast of the ice fishing. He's still out there, but I'm thinking that it's got to be getting close to being done.
I'm thinking he's the ice tester.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, you want to be behind him. If you've not seen Chaz, he's a big fella, and you want to be behind him. You don't want to be in front of him. But no, he sent me a text on Wednesday that he cleaned like 61 fish. I guess him and a few other guys went out, and then he took all the fish home and cleaned them. So that's a lot of knife work. I know that. But anyway, so you're back, Bob, from a little junket up north with the boys. Good to see you, and good to have you back. How was your little time off?
Thanks, Jop. Welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves, still broadcasting after almost 15 years. And there must be somebody out there listening.
Both of them. Yeah.
It's funny because we've been different stations, different networks and all these things and the radio consolidation and all the buyouts and all this stuff, and we've survived it.
Right. Well, and we're home now.
Thanks to our great sponsors. If you look at Garrett's Appliance, if you look at, Fenn Valley, Sobe Meats, all these people that have been with us from the get-go, they kept us on the air.
Right.
Even when we switched networks.
Yeah.
One of them dropped out. I won't say who it was, but
that's okay.
He got all butthurt.
Right.
And it's like we ended up better. So it's radio is a weird business. It's tough. And we ended up here with Jethro because it's the kind of next phase of radio. It's the new generation of AM/FM. And they're growing. So we're having fun here.
Yeah, we are. We're having a lot of fun.
And we're having fun on our affiliates, WGIM in Lansing. That's just a legacy station that's been in that market forever. I've listened to it for 20 years. And then, of course, our affiliate in Big Rapids, WBRN, which I grew up listening to in Reed City. They're out of Big Rapids, but my dad had that doggone country on every Saturday morning on that big console as loud as he could play it to make sure we got out of bed.
Well, they had to do something, I'm sure, right, to make that happen.
That was a beautiful Emerson at the day.
Yeah.
They don't make those anymore.
Right. Yeah, swallowed up, I'm
so,
sure.
Like so today's concept of a show is barbecue that beginners stay away from. And I try and look back on when I got into grilling seriously, or at least as a young dad, and I look at the stupid attempts I made at trying to make things. There's some funny stories. We've probably all got them where we, you know, maybe back then there was no YouTube.
Right. No, not a thing. And if you came up in my household, nobody grilled. My dad was never in the kitchen and never at the grill. Mom made all the food and generally cooked everything to death.
In the oven.
Yeah,
on
in the oven.
Top.
And we had a grill, but it was for burgers and dogs. You didn't do anything on
and
the
And who
grill.
Did the burgers and dogs?
Whoever would step up. Right.
So one of the brothers.
Yeah, right. One of my older brothers or
your
an
dad,
aunt or an
your
uncle.
Your dad didn't don an apron
and a
giant spatula and put his chef's hat on?
I can never remember him stepping up to the grill and cooking anything.
That's that generation. My dad never. I remember once watching him cook eggs, and I said, I'll pass. Mom was gone.
Yeah.
And dad was like, I'm going to make some eggs. He burnt up, out of them.
I got an unrelated but related story. When my mom passed, dad was by himself and fiercely independent guy, right? I mean, his whole life. And he didn't know how to use the laundry equipment. So he'd go buy a 5-pack of underwear. And when it got dirty, and it was in a pile in the basement by the laundry, he'd go buy more and then just keep throwing it down there. same way with jeans.
I know what you inherited.
Jeans and flannel shirts, the same way.
I know what you inherited.
When we discovered it, there was a mountain of, it's a single guy living by himself. He's in his early 80s.
And who wants to touch those?
Yeah, right. Well, we did, but it was like we ended up making a giant run to Goodwill.
Before the age of latex gloves, too.
Yeah, right. But anyway, it was it's crazy.
So away from Jop's dad's underwear, right, yeah. Back to barbecue that beginners stay away from. I guess, you know, these ideas come to us throughout the week or
maybe a minute before the show. Who knows?
Yeah, sometimes. But this is something that kind of gnaws away at me because I'm always wondering what we're not covering or what we're overlooking. And I had an image of young Bobby, the dad, with like maybe two kids. handsome fella. With my new house, you know, out in the woods, and I finally got a grill and it was used, and I'm going to throw some ribs on it.
Yep. Because you said I want to make some ribs.
I did.
Yeah.
And my wonderful bride, bless her heart, she tried to eat them.
Right.
And I finally picked them up and threw them in the trash. I said, "I'm sorry. This is not." Right. And we went down to Kaiser's and ate dinner.
Yeah, right. The local
yeah,
diner.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but I threw these ribs just on the grill.
Right.
Medium heat, and said, "Let's cook them till they're cooked." And they were cooked.
Mm-hmm.
The blackness determined that.
A little dry, maybe. Yeah, a little
tough,
dry.
Tough black.
So we'll cover that. We'll, you know, maybe beef ribs or pork ribs or salmon, pork loin, you know. We can start with burgers and dogs because that's what every guy does at the when he opens up this grill and he turns it on for the first time. You're going to do burgers and dogs. Hard to mess those up, but there still are a couple tips that I think we can go through along there as well. I got one more story. Was out working with my boss this week. He was in town and running him around, meeting some of my clients and things. And we ended up at Founders after a long day of sales.
Imagine
guy.
That.
Yeah, right.
And, must have been his idea.
It was. Yeah, it was. He had to drink my pain away. No, but anyway, ran into a lady that we're going to have on the show in the next few weeks,
oh,
but
God.
I want to prep it. No. It was really cool.
Not another cheese girl.
No. She's bought a local affiliation with a national organization called Barley's Angels. And what it is a group for women to learn about craft beer and not be intimidated when they walk into a brewery. Now,
what makes them angels?
What? What'd you say?
What makes them angels?
Just the name. Like Charlie's Angels, Barley's Angels, right?
There's blatant
But anyway, she
right
she
there.
teaches school, but she was there, and Founders joined their organization and is their like charter sponsor. And she was telling me all about it because they were sitting at the table next to us.
Well, that was
a
smart move on Founders.
Well, sure, it's a smart move on everybody.
What if it spreads nationally?
Right. Well, it has.
And
you're missing it.
And now,
she's a franchise owner here. It is a national organization already.
Oh.
Yeah, and she just bought it for West Michigan and has got a little board of directors, and they were having a meeting, and they were all excited because that's what they were sitting at the table next to us. And she's all excited. It's like, what's going on over there when they're all packing up ready to leave?
That was driving you nuts, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, no, it was actually my boss said it. But at the end of the day, I thought, what a cool, and she's wicked excited about this. And it's like, it's the most exciting thing I've witnessed in craft beer in a long time. So we're going to have her on, give her a day to talk a little bit about what it is. Because it's a West Michigan organization that she's trying to help ladies understand, not be embarrassed or be intimidated when they walk into one of the 40, 50, 60 breweries we got in West Michigan.
There
I thought
go.
It was kind of cool. But anyway, but that's a beginner thing. It made me think of it when you said we're doing this for beginners. Is that's what that's all about. And nothing goes better together than beer and barbecue. Come on, man. There's a tie here. Do I have to work this hard to make the connection?
Fresh squeezed orange juice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Not on my beer. But anyway, so we are going to talk on a little bit about ribs and maybe pork steak or something like that in the next segment. I see a note here about a Sanders ham. That's something you just warm up, isn't it?
I did another one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh,
you have to finish cooking them.
Oh, you do?
But we'll talk about it in the next segment.
All right.
I got lucky.
So coming up next, we're going to spend a minute on kind of the do's and don'ts for beginners of barbecue so that you're comfortable when you walk up to your grill. I think spring is right around the corner. You're going to, you know, those of you that are new are going to dig it out of the the barn or the garage, and then you're going to start using this thing. So you're going to want to hear, listen to this a little bit, and we'll give you some tips that'll make your grilling better. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Hall Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Join us for happy hour Monday through Saturday from 4 to 7 with 30% off brick oven pizzas and dollar off beer and wine. Enjoy your meal and drinks on our large outdoor patio, or even take your pizzas to go. Happy hour deals also available at our sister location, Wealthy Street Bakery, which is on the corner of Wealthy and Union. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Boy, I was all over the map in that first segment. Jeez. Let's focus in on some, you know, things for the beginning griller. Where you want to start? You roll with this.
My hair's just blown back. I don't know where to start.
All right.
Now, I did want to mention, you said Sanders. I went up and stayed with my son and cut trees for a few days and just hung out with them. And he's building quite the little homestead. They're turning their small plot, it's some acreage and a house close to Lake Michigan, south of Manistee. They're turning it into like, I just think of Mr. Douglas. Yeah. He's got the tractor. He's got chickens. We went and picked up new chicks when I was there. Anyway, his wife works for a very large company, and they give her a Sanders ham every year.
Oh.
And she had one in the freezer.
And that's a Ludington thing.
No, it's from Custer.
Custer. Okay, yes, west of Ludington. East of Ludington, yeah.
When I grew up, you know, on the Muskegon there between Reed City and Everett, my dad always had to go to Custer to pick up a ham at Sanders,
right,
like every month. And I didn't understand why. It's like, this is ridiculous. You know, you can go right down to Vic's Market and get one. But he was very particular about his ham that he made my mom finish off. Mm-hmm. So my daughter-in-law says, hey, you know, let's do this. You can just take it home with you because Alex has a Primo he's rebuilding and yada, yada. And it wasn't quite ready. It was cold. There was 2 foot of snow on the ground. And I said, okay, I'll take it home. So I take it home. And of course I've got these extra little munchkins in the house. We'll go through some ham. So I put it in my Generation 7 smoker and I
was it thawed?
Yes.
Was it room temperature or did you take it right out of the fridge? This is beginner show. Need to talk about this
It
stuff.
Was maybe 45 degrees.
Okay, so you'd taken it out of the refrigerator and set it on the counter for a while.
It was thawing in a cooler for days.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I also pulled out some beef ribs from my cow because I've got another cow coming.
Had the smoker going.
And I want to, yeah, as long as you're firing it up. I found some nice Blues Hog charcoal, by the way. Ace Hardware has Blues Hog, which I have a feeling is either Parker or the same one that makes it in Missouri for my old company. But it was a real nice charcoal, and it's $24 for a 20-pound bag. Not horrible. If you wait for your Ace coupon, you can get a deal. So I threw a bunch of Blues Hog in there. I threw that ham in there, and I seasoned up some ribs, and I smoked that ham for about, it took forever. I probably gave it 7 hours, and it was barely 160 in the middle.
So was it pre-smoked and you were just
they do something that they call partial cook, which sounds weird, sounds like trichinosis waiting to happen, but it's a great process. They've done it for decades. But while I was up there, so I did smoke that. It turned out great. It's Sanders ham is wonderful.
Again, I'm reeling you back because this is for beginners. So you put it in a smoker. At what temperature? Did you put a probe in it to monitor the temperature?
No.
So describe the process because
I put it in about 275.
The smoker chamber was.
And I let it go for maybe 7 hours.
Okay. Were you checking it along the way?
Yep.
Okay. And you just got a thermopen or some sort of digital thermometer.
Yep.
And you're pushing it into the deepest part, just like in the center.
To the center.
Yep. And so you're monitoring this, and you want this to be up to about 160?
Finally, it's like 8, 9 o'clock at night, and it's like, I'm pulling this thing in because I know I'm going to fall asleep.
Right.
So I pulled it in.
So that was the real thermometer.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't want to put more charcoal in because then I got to stay up late.
Right. Yep. See, so there you are. If you're a beginner, there are other outside factors that affect your cook.
Here's the other thing about that. Since I threw in the beef ribs, now I created a problem for myself with the beef ribs because I'm pulling them off before they're really done. So I had to put those in again yesterday or day before and finish those off because, again, I've got these beautiful beef ribs and everybody likes them. And I should have just probably put them in the oven and just banged them out in the oven. But I would say never try and do beef ribs in a two-phase cook. That's one thing that did not work at all. Because I interrupted my routine, and it changed everything about them. I was not happy with them at all.
So moral of the story is one, give yourself enough time to finish your cooking. You all out there that are beginners have a giant advantage that we didn't, Bob and I, when we started. There's a thing called YouTube, and you can find technique for anything on YouTube. May not be an expert, may not be exactly what you think you need to do, but it'll get you 95% of the way.
There's enough variety that you can sample five of them and pick what you believe out of those.
So what Bob just described as typical is that some outside influence, this case, Bob's drowsiness, impacts the way you're cooking. And you have to call an audible. And so rule number one is there's no real right or wrong way to do this, but there are better ways to do it than others. And if Bob wouldn't have started earlier.
Yeah, I would have waited till the next day.
Right.
And done a whole day cook.
Right.
So, but I had no idea that those ribs would be so stubborn.
Right.
I mean, they would not finish.
Right.
7 hours for beef ribs? Never done that.
Right. So, and what that amounts to is that you need to have beef ribs go slow because they're very tough. But when you cook them slow, that collagen and the connective tissue breaks down and they're not tough when
fat.
You're ready to eat.
Yeah, a lot of fat.
Right.
So one of the things that people like to start with in barbecue, and we say barbecue, we're talking about smoking or offset grilling, is beef pork ribs. Don't you think ribs are like
one of
the things that your wife always asks for
when
you go out to eat and you've never tried maybe?
Right.
And you look at them, I remember years ago Chili's had a wonderful ad for baby backs.
Yeah.
If you want
nice jingle.
If you want some nice ribs, go down to Smoky Bones if you have one in your area. They do a wonderful job with ribs. I mean, wonderful. And in all over the place. In Big Rapids, there's a nice little brewery downtown that does a good job with barbecue. In Lansing, you've got Meat Barbecue. You can't beat his meat.
Right. You shouldn't anyway. So, but the ribs, there's a little bit of technique to doing ribs. Is you just said smoker or offset. Both of those mean indirect heat, not direct heat. So if you've got a grill and you got one knob and you turn that thing on, you've got heat all over your grill.
Yeah, it's not
probably
the
not the
use.
Piece of equipment you want to use to make your ribs.
So my point is, if you're not going to attempt those ribs right off the bat, here's one thing you can attempt that's cheaper and easy. Practice on cheap stuff because it sucks to throw expensive meat away.
Yep.
Pork steak.
Right.
It's a fantastic, it's not the pork chop, it's before the chop. And sometimes when you buy pork chops at a big box store, you'll pull the top beautiful chops off and you'll find one on the bottom with a ton of color. Well, they're screwing you, basically. They're fudging it with a $1.99 piece trying to, you know, get the $3, $4 a pound piece.
Right, steak under those pork chops.
But it's a wonderful piece to slow roll because once you get that connective tissue and that fat to break down, you have some fantastic flavor there.
Right.
And,
Right. So coming up next, we're going to finish the story about pork ribs and pork steak, and then we might jump into some salmon or steelhead. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional.
Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to The Grillin' Guys on The Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. Hey, second week of March. Hey, Bob, the fish are going to start running in the river as soon as we get that temperature, that spring run. And it's a great time to be out and go fishing when the ice is gone and the water's still cold. And you can catch some great salmon and steelhead in a spring run. So maybe you're one of those guys that you go out and do that, or your family, somebody in your family or a buddy goes out and catches a few salmon or a few steelhead, and they bring you a fillet. And you're like, boy, I really like salmon, but where do I go from here?
Yeah, I myself personally, I'm more of a steelhead fan because I used to go on the red boat charters out of Grand Haven decades ago, and Bill Draper was like the greatest charter captain in the world. And he would always make sure we got some steelies on along with the salmon. But this dude had a generator on his boat, and he would fire it up after we caught our first mirror. He had a cleaning board on the stern,
right,
and he would clean the first one right there and throw the guts in the live well because he had to show DNR, and he'd fillet one up into cubes. He'd roll it in Progresso, fire up the generator, put his little fry daddy on, and he'd drop those breaded cubes of either salmon or steelhead in that oil, and then they'd come out and he'd hit them with lemon pepper and Mrs. Dash, and you could not stop. Well, lemon pepper and Mrs. Dash on little cubes of Progresso breaded salmon.
Right.
I mean, fantastic, fresh. Anyway, so maybe you're going to want to try and do, you say, gosh, I love smoked salmon. I love salmon dip. Yada, yada, yada. Everybody wants salmon now. I feel sorry for the poor little things because Hollywood made them famous or somebody.
Well,
did.
They've been in Michigan forever, and I grew up eating salmon. You did too, and a lot of people do. But grilling it or preparing it, the first way you talked about is very popular with a deep fried chunk of it.
Sure,
and it's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful. I'm not a big guy to have too much batter. My wife likes the sticky beer batter.
Of course she does.
But to me, I want more fish, less batter. She's the other way around.
Well, here was a little aside that Bill Draper used to teach us. When he was cleaning that fish, he'd go down along the side, and you'll see a black line that goes down the side of a fish.
Yep.
And that's the nerve, that's the exoskeletal nerve trunk, okay?
It's on a fillet on both sides.
It's on every side, and when you cut that fillet in half, if you look at that from a cross-sectional, you'll notice the skin goes, and then it makes a wave chart blip up right there, and the meat is kind of brown there.
Yep.
And that's always the meat I cut out. I don't want that brown-looking stuff.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but number one, as soon as we'd kill that fish, he'd go in there and he'd cut that thing out right there, and he swore that stopped the rigor mortis, which is what created the fishy smell and flavor. And I trust Bill Draper because he was a wise sage. And that fish that we did on those boats, if you do that, you cut that nerve out, cut that vein, that exoskeletal trunk.
Yeah, and let me tell you that the exact same thing we do with walleye. Okay, you take the fillet off the side, you turn it over and skin it, and you got a side of the fish. And you'll see that brown, I call it a mud line, but it's not mud.
Yeah,
but
we call it a mud line too.
But what happens is if you take your knife and you, from the tail end, you cut on either side of that, and you got like a little tab, like on a zipper.
Yep.
Put your fingers on both sides of the cut, pull it right away from you. That'll come out in one piece.
It will.
And it's the same thing. It takes the strong, fishy taste out of the fillets.
I think
walleye's never fishy, but it helps. I mean, I don't fillet fish with walleyes without taking that out of there.
Good.
It makes a big difference in the flavor. when you've got them, you know, you freeze them or you bag them up later.
So I know we said we were going to do grilling tips, but actually prepping your food is a huge tip. And if you have fresh meat, if you have in this case fresh fish,
right?
I think these are very valid points. And
right,
I don't know anybody who says, "Oh, I love salmon because it's so strong." No,
right.
No.
Right.
So anyway, let's say maybe you're afraid to do a steelhead or a salmon on the smoker. Well, let's say maybe you don't have a smoker and you're trying to make that next step, or you're just very cautious. Maybe you're not afraid.
Well,
maybe you're just
salmon's
cautious.
$12.99 to $15.99 a pound, and you got a 3-pound fillet, you're messing with a $50 piece of meat.
Right.
Right? So you kind of want to know what you're doing. And so I think where we're going next is one of the nicest ways for one for presentation, but two for flavor, and three for ease of cooking is a cedar plank.
So what I'm going to do in that case is I'm going to make sure I take the skin off that fillet.
Yep.
I know you're not a fan of that. If you're going to throw it on the grill without a cedar plank, leave the skin on it.
Yep.
Just cook it skin side down as long as you can stand it. Grill lid shut, lemons, herbs, all that stuff on top. Cook it till it's done. Pull it off. Now you have a serving platform because that skin turns stiff. You've got actually something to pick your meat off of.
Right.
And that's fine.
Right.
I like to get the skin off it if I'm going to smoke it because I love the flavor imparted from cedar.
Right.
Because I'm not a big salmon fan unless I catch it fresh and I get that nerve out of there and I make sure it's brined and all these things. I'm a wimp about – that's why I don't like trout. It smells like trout.
Yep.
Salmon right. is the trout.
Right. And salmon is really good if you prepare it right. You bounced on a lot of things there. The cedar
That's
plank.
What I do.
Right. The cedar plank, if you're preparing that, you want to soak that in water if you're putting it right on your grill because it'll catch fire if it's dry. If you give it a half hour in the sink, set a big heavy coffee mug on it so it stays submerged in the water. Or if you're a real connoisseur, buy yourself a bottle of cheap bourbon, like 10 High or something like that, and put that in the stopper in the sink. Put enough of it in there to get over top of that platter, that plank, and it will soak that up, and it'll give you a wonderful little whiskey smoke, and it's easy. Don't do it with one of your high-end bourbons.
Or you could
giant
just,
waste.
You could just buy some cedar whiskey, maybe.
Well, I don't know if they make that. But, yeah, just drink it and forget the fish, yeah. Throw it in the trash, and sit and drink whiskey all
Barf
afternoon.
Your guts
well,
up.
There's that,
Barf
too.
Your
right?
guts up.
I guess that's probably the best tip we've given you all day, right?
So
there,
if you're taking the reason I like to take the skin off is because when I used cedar planks the first few times, I noticed that white milk coming out.
Yep.
And I just thought that was gross.
Right.
I don't want that as a presentation, for one thing.
Right.
But I had my very first cedar.
And that's fat, is all that is the fat is rendering out of the salmon, because salmon is a fatty fish, and that white milk that you're talking about as the fish cooks, it's escaping, right? It's like any protein.
I think there's more than fat there.
I don't know. I think it's. I think
you
there's a layer
know.
Of fat, but no, between a layer of fat between the skin and the fish.
Well, I'm just thinking if fat's rendering, it'd be runny and liquid.
Well, it's coming out. Yeah.
Okay. Back to the cedar plank. I had my first one at the grand opening of the Flat River Grill. And I had always wanted to try it. They made beautiful little salmon fillets on cedar planks. And I thought, wow, this made salmon tolerable for me. That aromatic cedar will do that. And here's a little tip. You don't have to go out and buy these expensive grilling planks. You can go to the lumber yard and buy some loose cedar shakes. They actually work better. When we did that one, when we discovered our salmon, our fish flambé up
right.
at Houghton Lake, it was shakes
right.
because they're thin on the edge. Even though we soaked them, that edge burned up quick, and where the fish was, it didn't catch fire. But on the edges, it caught fire, and it just made everybody laugh. And it was a great,
right.
it was a great show. We were in showbiz that day.
Yeah,
so
yeah. We were serving them while they were flaming.
Yeah,
yeah. We did that at my beers and barbecue too. You remember that? People were amazed. It's like, look, this thing's on fire. This guy's bringing it off the grill. There's a plank on fire. Oh, there's a piece of fish in the middle of it. Set it down. The fire goes out, and then you eat the fish.
And the lady's dress catches on fire. That wasn't cool.
I don't remember that.
But it's because you were into the bourbon.
Yeah, maybe.
Well,
could have been.
Taking the skin off is the thought if you're using cedar. If you're not, and you're going to try fish on your grill, that means you've got sort of a hot surface. Those are just things to think about.
Right.
If you're new at it.
Yeah, if you're putting it on the grill, oil it up a little bit because it may stick. Coming up next, we're going to switch over to the hog. Everybody, this is a great place to start your barbecue because pork is one of the least expensive meats on the market still, and it's okay to mess one up. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're going to bring this train to the station.
Thank God.
Thanks for riding along. We've been talking about a lot of things, maybe not too much for the beginner, but trying to just relate to all of you that there's lots of things you can try that aren't that hard, that you can get a great result from your grill if you're just getting started. We realize a lot of you are probably just this time of year pulling your grills out of your garage or your barn out back because you put them away for the winter. We won't clip your man card because your spring's coming. But so let's talk a little bit about probably the, other than a burger or a hot dog, the most common thing that gets grilled is like pork, right? I think in a pork chop, a pork steak, a pork loin, all of those things. The reason, two reasons. One is they're readily available, and two is they're not the most expensive cut of meat in the butcher shop. So you people tend to gravitate to that if you got a lot of people to feed.
And they're killing all the chickens.
Yeah, right. Well, they have, I guess, man. Yeah, whatever. We won't talk about eggs.
Oh, that's why it was so fun picking those chicks up for my son. It's like in 6-7 weeks, he's going to have eggs.
Oh, maybe not quite that quick. But
I think it is. They grow like weeds.
Yeah, like chicks, man. Yeah.
So back several decades ago, I was selling grills, right? And I had my first exposure to Primo. And I went to an event where George, the founder and owner of Primo, a wonderful man, he was Greek, a Greek-American, and he built up a company that was tremendous. I still, to this day, love Primo. But he, for a group of us, he cooked us pork loin.
Okay.
On his Primo. With an offset plate.
This is the one that's the size of a softball, not the one that's size of
the diameter of it. Yeah, pork loin.
Right.
Is the center of a pork chop.
Right, right, and it's going to be about the size of a softball. Where there's a tenderloin, which is about the size of a tennis ball.
Now you can get pork loin with the bone in.
Right.
Whichever you prefer.
Crown roast, they call
whichever
that.
Whichever you prefer.
Yeah.
So George smoked. There was a group of us. We went to this event to look at product to see if we wanted to be dealers. And he was just such a wonderful person that, you know, I couldn't stay away from hanging out with him at the smoker and talking about all these things he's done. But he pulled that loin off the smoker and let it rest, which you should do. I would tell you to actually wrap it up in butcher paper for a half an hour and let it rest properly. Because that's a piece of meat you really want your fluids to slow down on. So I'm saying he brought that to 145 in the center. Again, use a thermopen in the center. So you got a 5-inch diameter maybe. You're 2.5 inches in. Put your probe 2.5 inches in. If it says 145, pull it. That's all you need
Take
for pork.
Take it off the smoker.
It's all
that's
you
what
need
means
for
by
pork.
Pull it, yeah.
Yep. It's all you need. And then wrap it up and park it.
Right.
And you can actually, you can make that in advance, and you can throw it in a cooler, with just a dry cooler, and let it sit in there and slowly park and redistribute those juices. Or you can set it on your butcher top and wrap it and let it cool down a little bit so you can serve it quicker. Either way, he cut us all these nice big inch and a half chops. And I am a pig, right? I could not wait to cut into that thing because I'm a seagull now. It's free food, right?
Right.
Swarming around the grill just like all those people that annoy you when you're at events.
Right.
That was me. And I could not wait to put my fork and knife into that thing. And I cut it, and I cut a big, beautiful piece, put it in my mouth, and I started chewing. And I, at that time, probably didn't know what a smoke ring was. And I'm chewing this, and I'm looking at this man in this grill, and I'm going, I'm doing this. I am doing this. This is magic. This yep. is magic. And I remember saying to him, I was like a groupie, like a starstruck teenager. You know, I was like, how did you get that smoky flavor all through the meat? And he just laughed and he goes, that's what we do.
Yeah. So
Steph, that's the magic of a Kamado if you use it properly.
Okay. So maybe all of you have heard of more. Primo is a brand, a very good brand.
The American-made brand.
There's another one out there called Big Green Egg. This is what Bob's talking about.
Kamado Joe.
They're ceramic grilling chambers that are based off charcoal. And you can use briquettes, but it doesn't work nearly as well as if you use lump charcoal.
It's an Asian style of cooking. Air Force guys brought them back with them from Japan in the 60s when they were rotating.
Yeah.
And they brought these things back to America, and everybody's going, holy cow, they were just made out of clay. And some bright boy who started Big Green Egg in America at the time he was making them decided to try it with ceramic clay. That made it way better.
Right.
It didn't crack as easily, and it held the heat better. So that's how this thing evolved, Big Green Egg, and then Primo. Now you've got all kinds of Chinese knockoffs like Kamado Joe and Sapphire and all these things. They're all pretty good. Primo is still the best. It's still made in Atlanta and in Georgia, and it's an all-American company. And they're distributed by the people that make Empire Products and all these great products out of Rockford, Illinois.
So regardless of the industry track and how it gets to your store, we're saying that a ceramic grill is, if you can get your second grill, your first one's always a gas grill, it seems, but if you can get your second grill and you get one of these Kamado grills, regardless of the brand, they all work really, really well, but they're designed to be more of a smoker than they are a grill. And this is where Bob's talking about.
Well, time out. I would beg to differ. In my opinion, and in their advertising, they actually say it's a smoker and a grill. So it actually has dual use. So you do get the grill out of it, because some people aren't going to buy a Kamado cooker and then buy a charcoal grill. You've already got a charcoal grill. So if you want to grill some steaks on charcoal, you've done it a million times on your Big Green Egg.
No, I've done it about a dozen times because I don't like the way it cooks. Because you've got to have the big one in order to get the offset heat, because that Kamado grabs way too much air with the lid open when you're grilling.
Well,
and your charcoal gets super hot.
That again,
so you got to use little bits of charcoal and it's, to me, it's just not an efficient.
You're just having a flashback to when you put too much fuel in it.
Well, I've done that, and that's what this show is supposed to be about, beginners, and we'll go there because it happened, and I put too much, and I opened it up, and the thing, it gobbled air.
I wasn't trying to redirect
but
the conversation.
But it's not my favorite charcoal grill.
But I'm just saying,
it's a great smoker.
It is a grill and a smoker. You can do it either way. And if you're going to grill on it, you have to use smaller amounts of charcoal because it's that efficient. That's all. So regardless, if you're going to try a pork loin on a smoker, you can do that. But another easier piece to do is a tenderloin. Why is it easier? Because it's so small and it's a little fattier. A loin has a very lean center.
Right.
And that's why I tell you to park it, because you can dry those out really easily if you're not careful. You don't want to cut right into a fresh roasted pork loin, you know, because you're going to let all your fluids out.
Right.
And your seconds are going to be dry.
Yeah. Yep, they are. So,
but a pork loin is that skinny one. You find them in the supermarket or in your butcher case, pre-marinated a lot of times.
Right.
And that's not a bad way to start because it is a piece that needs a little help on the flavor. I find them boring.
Right. I do too, unless they're marinated. You can do it in your on your own, or you can buy them pre-marinated.
Yeah.
You've seen them. They're about the size of two hot dog buns,
yeah,
end to end.
Looks like two
right?
giant hot dogs
yeah,
in
right.
some fluid.
Right. So they're packed up. They're $4.99, $5.99 a pound or whatever, so it's a little more money, but they're very good, but they need flavor. They need to be marinated in something to give them some flavor because it's a very lean piece of meat, and it can dry out. But again, cook it slow, offset. That's what smoking is. It's not directly over the heat. It's beside the heat. And then you'll get it to your doneness, and it'll be fantastic.
So if you do have one of these Kamado cookers, you can do it offset, but they have a plate that you put on top that looks like a ceramic pizza plate, and you put that at a certain level underneath your grate. That forces all the heat out and around it, and it's dome-shaped, so it circulates that smoke and heat, and it's actually a pretty nice way to cook your food.
Right.
You use your offset plate.
I use it all the time.
Yeah.
I think the term that Big Green Egg uses is called a plate setter.
Yep.
But all it is a shield between the direct heat and the grate where your product is sitting.
So you said don't worry about distribution, but the Primo is not going to have tariffs on it.
Yeah. And the Primo, with all seriousness, the Primo has more grilling surface than a Big Green Egg.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's oval. It's not round. Anything you put on the grill generally isn't round.
Yeah, well,
so oval works better.
You've been listening to the Grilling Guys. We're all over the place, but it's nothing unusual for us.
All right. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.